Coming up next on The Voice of Alabama Politics, medical cannabis is popular. Also, did Steve Marshall participate in political prosecution? And Tommy Tuberville says race has no color.
Snap out of it!
If ignorance was bliss, he'd be a happy fellow. All this and much, much more coming up next on The V.
Welcome to The Voice of Alabama Politics, where we tackle the tough issues so you have the hard facts. I'm your host, Bill Britt, and today I'm joined by Susan Britt, research guru extraordinaire, Charlie Walker, assistant to the editors at APR, and Josh Moon, investigative reporter and columnist at APR. Welcome.
Hi, guys.
Hey, everybody.
Hello.
Charlie, nice to see you back.
Yes, I'm happy to be back, finally.
Josh, you were a story-breaking machine this week. You did a story on Dr.
Well, like all weeks, Bill. Like all weeks.
God, he's going to quote lines from Fletch. This week, Dr. David Cole, who's running for District 10 House seat here in Alabama, a seat once held by Mike Ball. Turns out it looks like the good doctor doesn't actually live in District 10, but actually lives in District 4. Tell us about that, Josh.
Yeah, it does. You know, we had received some information that possibly David Cole did not live in the district for which he's running for a seat. He's running against Maryland Lands in District 10. And so, you know, I got the addresses, which were fairly easy to find, the addresses that he claims on his tax records versus the addresses that he claimed in the filing that he gave to the party, which when he filed to run for office last November. And so, you know, you just went and checked him out. And I mean, it's fairly obvious that he and his family kind of live in this house in District 4 where he's lived for the past 7 years. And that this other home that he claimed when he filed is owned by another gentleman, apparently a friend of his and his wife, and they continue to live in that home. And the story that we were given by the campaign is that they signed a lease to move into this house with this other family because they wanted to downsize and move into an apartment. But the apartment wasn't available at the time when they wanted to move. So instead of remaining in the house where they had lived for 7 years, which is currently still owned by them, they moved into this house with this other family that just so happened to be just across the boundary into District 10. So,
Susan, yeah, go ahead. So, Susan, go ahead.
But, Josh, the other part you're not putting in there is that you have verified, you have been by these homes and watched these people active in their homes, walking their dogs, you know, family going in and out, and they are at the actual locations of the addresses that you have where he is in District 4, not District 10.
Yeah, and I don't want to – listen, I'm not roaming around looking through people's windows.
Are you sure?
I know. Thanks, Charles. But I never got out of the truck. You know, I just drove by the neighborhood. So once you drive by the street, though, it's fairly obvious that this family is living in this house. I mean, it's – you know what it looks like when a family occupies a home. And it has all of the signs, and then not to mention, I also did see the good doctor coming and going out of the house. And so, yeah.
Well, I mean, and to think that this guy and his wife are wealthy, I mean, by any standards, they're wealthy people living in Huntsville. And
he's very successful, very well-respected doctor, yes.
Yeah, right. I mean, I'm not saying there's anything wrong with the guy, but the fact that they're going to move in with this other successful family, and they're gonna coexist
in a 3,300 square foot house.
I mean, it just doesn't. Yeah.
He's got a family of five, you know,
right.
And
a dog.
So, yeah, and a dog. Yes, and Well, maybe there's a dog behind. I don't know.
What were you going to say, Charlie?
Oh, just it is. It's the lying that I just don't. How I have to take a Josh route on this. I don't understand how we're still doing this and allowing this. Like, I mean, maybe like me growing up somewhere where there was such a jacked up school system, you know, there were little schemes where parents would use other addresses in order to get their kids into certain schools. You know, same thing. He's lying and cheating the system. Mm-hmm. We knew that was a bad thing to do. This is a grown man doing this. For political purposes, and it's insane.
Yeah, no, I have some experience with this. I kind of busted the Prattville football program several years ago for kids going up and playing out of district and stuff. And so, you know, I was really kind of the right guy to go and do this story because I'm used to people trying to lie about where their residence is. But it's, you know, I don't understand, you know, and now at this point, what we have is unless somebody challenges this in court, it's going to stand.
Somebody needs to challenge it in court and file a lawsuit. And because if the guy runs and wins and it's proven that he doesn't live in the district, mm-hmm. he will have to be sworn in and then removed from mm-hmm. office.
That's right.
And there'll have to be a special election, which costs the taxpayers money too.
Yeah.
But because when have we ever heard about that?
The thing to me, and Charlie, you're right. But the thing to me that bothers me is he's cheating. Mm-hmm. It looks to me he's cheating. All right. That's my opinion. He's cheating. And we have so much cheating in government already, which brings me to our next segment. Attorney General Steve Marshall was accused by a district court judge of using a politically and personally motivated prosecution. This is our attorney general and a district court judge saying this. And also, the 11th Circuit sort of found the same thing, Josh, but there's nothing anybody can do about it. Another story.
Yeah, it's, you know, this was a feud that Steve Marshall has had with the sheriff up in Jefferson County and his brother. And the claim is that the sheriff up there is allowing, quote unquote, illegal gambling operations to exist in Jefferson County. And there's some argument back and forth over, you know, who's right about that or not. But in the process of this, he went after the sheriff's brother, who provided some financial advice. He owns a financial consulting firm, a very well-respected financial consulting firm, I would add. But he went after him because some money from one of these establishments was given to the brother of the sheriff for consulting work. And so he wanted to freeze the account, or he wanted to confiscate the money that was taken. But instead of confiscating it, he froze the entire brokerage account, which had $260,000 in it at that point, and caused some harm to this man's business, which should not have happened. And a federal judge in Birmingham said, you know, this was very personally motivated. And I mean, she was very, very harsh with him and basically called the state liars in the case that they presented.
Well, yeah, it was like $15,000 he was supposed to freeze, but he froze $260,000. Yeah.
But this is what we have. Cheating in politics, cheating at the AG's office. Mm-hmm. But we're going to have to leave it right there. You're watching The V, the voice of Alabama politics.
I'm Donald Trump, and I love Alabama. As many of you know, there are few issues facing our nation as important as election integrity and election fraud. This is why the people of the great state of Alabama must work together to make it easier to vote and harder to cheat. So get out, register to vote, and get a photo ID so you can make your voice heard and decide the future of our great country. Thank you.
There seems to be a new wave of aggressive driving lately.
You see those people, they are the ones that are tailgating other people because they have to get through their destination now.
Weaving in and out of traffic, looks like they could care less about who's around them. There's no one else on the roadway. They're the only one there.
Aggressive driving can be the difference between life and death.
All because somebody thought they needed to be the front of the line and get there first.
Slow down. Don't be the reason that someone else doesn't go home tonight.
My dog Jupiter is frightened when I climb too high, the owl said.
Check for monsters, Daddy.
I did, honey. There are no monsters. You're perfectly safe.
Protect yourself and those you love. Vaccinate now.
Welcome back to The V, the voice of Alabama politics. Susan, a few weeks ago, our U.S. Senator, Tommy Tuberville, was at a Donald Trump rally in which he said that the Democrats, they want crime, and they are the party of crime, basically, he said, and they want reparations, because they think people who do crime are owed reparation. Mm-hmm. Now, he has given every excuse under the sun except one that makes any sense. So I want Jonathan to play a clip real quick, and we'll get into this.
The president of the NAACP, he did describe your comments as racist and said that they were sickening and asked for an apology. What's your response to that?
Well, I would apologize if I meant anything about race, but it wasn't. You know, like I said, race has no color. Reparation would have no color.
Okay, so Susan, he says he doesn't apologize for anything, and race has no color. Reparations would have no color.
First thing I think Senator Tuberville needs to do is get out a dictionary. Look up the word race, and then look up the word reparation, whether it has S on it or not, and see what the actual definitions are there. Race is, by definition, a division of different cultures. And reparation refers to reparation from the Civil War for people who had family that were slaves during that time. You can't tell me these are not racial remarks.
I mean, Charlie,
and the word.
Go ahead.
Sorry. Oh, I just had to add, and the word color is in the definition. So I just do not understand how he can take this stance and get up there and say these. It actually really pissed me off. It really did.
But look, I think y'all are kind of getting ahead of yourself, because first of all, Senator Tuberville, a dictionary is a book that has definitions of words in it, okay? And so I think that's the first thing that we need to explain, because I'm pretty
Look
sure he doesn't know that.
Webster.
And I'm going based off his knowledge of things like the Voting Rights Act and the three branches of government and that sort of thing. So, yeah, I think maybe we ought to start at a more basic level.
I mean, it's just so ridiculous. He keeps trying to make us believe that he wasn't talking about black people.
Of course he was. He was trying to scare white people. He was trying to scare suburban white people is what he was trying to do. He was trying to create the ugly, evil black man. That's what he was trying to do.
I mean, Charlie, he went on Fox 10, sat with a black female anchor and said this stuff to her face. And she tried to push back. But, I mean, no shame there whatsoever.
No, there is no shame. He is a truly nasty, and I'll probably just go ahead and say he's an evil person. And to sit in front of a black reporter and say this, I will give him reparations if he will just go away. I am so done with him.
Josh, didn't the University of Auburn, Auburn University, give him reparations? Kind of.
Yeah, they did give him reparations. I mean, he basically held them hostage before he would leave at the end. You know, it's, you know, because he had other comments as well, in which he talked about Gen X and millennials, which covers a swath of about 50 years worth of people.
I want to get into that. Good topic. I mean, Tuberville had another gathering down in Mobile. He was talking to some manufacturing folks, and that he said that people just want to check. They don't, and he blamed Gen X and millennials. Now, we got some Gen X's hanging around here, and, you know, so it goes from 65 to 80. So basically they're 40 to fit in their 50s. And then millennials, which cover people up to 30 years old. So we got a few of those too. I mean, come on now. He's saying that the people that 50-year-olds and 40-year-olds and 30-year-olds aren't wanting to work. Everybody
yeah, the
I know
entire
that
workforce.
Age works.
Yeah. Essentially the entire workforce at this point is what he's talking about. I mean, it's comical. It's also comical for the fact that we have a 2.6 unemployment rate at this point. The lowest unemployment rate in the state historically, one of the lowest in the country historically. I don't know you know, we had this thing during the recession, I mean, during the pandemic, where, you know, we basically almost created a recession for ourselves because of some of the corporate greed and things that have taken place afterwards. But part of that is the fact that some of these corporations have for years relied upon almost slave wages for people, wages in which people could not earn a living, could not afford rent, could not afford cars, could not afford to feed their families without taking on a second job. And a lot of the people during this time of great growth and expansion after the Democrats took over, they've determined that, you know what, we don't have to put up with this crap anymore. We're not going to. We have options. We're going to make our money, and to hell with you in this job that doesn't give anything and cuts benefits and makes us live like paupers while you live like kings. We're not going to do this anymore.
Well, no, and I have something wanted to jump in. And yeah, I know people love to crap on millennials, but I do have to give my millennial perspective on this. The people I graduated with people who have started businesses, started families, gotten their masters, gone into amazing careers in their fields of those degrees, which a lot of people are not able to do. And the fact that he says that we don't do anything, the only load that we have to tote is the boomer load that they have left us behind. So that's the load that we have to tote.
Thanks. Yeah, Tuberville said you got to tote the load.
So. Yeah, well, maybe he's toting the load in his actual home state of Florida.
That may be where he's talking about people.
That's what
working.
I think. That's you it. Know, because they like to go to the beach. They do.
There you go.
I know
he's not talking about me.
Or he's toting a load of stocks out of whatever committee meeting he was just in. This is honestly, you could take this from a lot of people, okay? But hearing it from Tommy Tuberville, all of this, all of what we've talked about, the guy that basically made his living in his life on the backs of the unpaid labor of primarily Black athletes in college, to say some of the racial things and hateful things that he said about Black people in this instance. And, you know, then to try to cover it up and to write it off, and then to talk about takers while he's done some of the things that he's done, taking buyouts, getting into various real estate schemes that he's been busted for, getting involved in stock trades that broke the law. He broke the law by not reporting a lot of the stock trades that he's involved in. And so, you know, to listen to him talk about this, it's ludicrous. And I don't know why we do it. And I don't know why good companies in the state continue to invite him to speak. And until maybe some of them pay a price, then, you know, we can stop this.
Well, I agree. Just stop giving it. Oh, my bad.
Go ahead, Charlie.
I was just saying, stop giving him an audience.
Mm-hmm. All right, we're going to have to leave it right there. You're watching the voice of Alabama politics.
Throughout my career, I've seen many crashes, and a lot of the fatalities are from people who haven't worn their seatbelt.
Cars have rolled over multiple times. I've had people end up in lakes, ravines. I've been looking for people in the woods for a couple hours before.
Usually just about every bone in their body is broken, their organs have ruptured, and typically they die.
You want to save a life? Just simply click a button and put the seatbelt on.
Seatbelts really do save lives.
There was an old woman who lived in a shoe. She had so many children, she didn't know what to do. She gave them some broth. Without any bread, and kiss them all soundly.
Lights out.
Good night.
And put them to bed. Hunger is a story we can end. End it at feedingamerica.org.
Speed is one of the biggest factors in a fatal car crash. Your car stops, but your body does not stop at the same time. Your body keeps going. You know, and that could be running into your seatbelt, that could be hitting the airbag, something has to stop it. And unfortunately, it's something very hard.
There have been times that we've come upon accidents where if people weren't speeding, they'd probably still be alive today.
It's truly dangerous and it puts everybody at risk.
There's just no point to it.
This kind of stuff has got to stop.
Welcome back to the voice of Alabama politics. Susan, a new poll out this week from the Alabama Cannabis Association found that 4 out of 5 Alabamians support medical cannabis.
Right. Medical cannabis, of course, is not recreational cannabis. We're talking about this for people with serious illnesses, children with epilepsy, children with, I mean, people with a huge pain in their life that can't get any other relief. So it was interesting to me that those in favor included 69% of Republicans, 82% of Democrats, and 75% of independents across major major demographics.
Yeah, I mean, Charlie, this is a serious issue for people around the state, and Alabama has the strictest medical cannabis of any state in the country. I mean, there are people that there are many states that have recreational use, but this is a positive thing to understand.
No, this is such a positive thing. This is such a good thing that we are doing. There are so many people's severe anxieties, depression, chronic illnesses, chronic pains. This is such a necessary thing that we should have already passed a long time ago. I don't know why we're just now getting around to it. Oh, wait, it's Alabama. But we're here now. I'm happy it's happening. And I think a lot of people are really going to get the help they need. It's a little slow of a rollout, but it's coming. So I'm happy.
I mean, Josh, there are people that want to come in and repeal that law already, yeah. Right?
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, the thing that I bring up to a lot of people when we talk about this is, you know, those conditions that Charlie just named, you know, the anxiety, the depression, the chronic pain, the chronic illnesses, those are things that people currently have that we treat with drugs today. All right.
I mean, that's what
we treat. We treat them with drugs today. They go to a doctor prescribes them. They go to the pharmacist hands them out. And what they give them most often for those conditions are things that are far more addictive, far more harmful, that do so much damage to people and have done so much damage and caused so much death to people around this country, that it is mind-boggling that there are still people that think a plant, a non-addictive plant, is going to cause some sort of issues that would be anywhere close to the level of what opioids, for example, have right. caused.
And unfortunately, go ahead, Charlie.
Oh, just saying you might run out of chips a little faster, but that's the main issue.
Well, and also these drugs are less effective than cannabis. That's mm-hmm. another point.
Well, unfortunately, this debate goes back to around 1975 when they convinced Jimmy Carter not to decriminalize marijuana. Mm-hmm. And because they convinced him it was a gateway drug was a lie then, it's a lie now, it will always be a lie. If there is any gateway drug in the United States of America, it's alcohol.
Yes, it is.
All right, we're going to move on here. The unemployment rate, as Josh referred to earlier, is at a low 2.6%. Mm-hmm. Tom Tuberville is wrong about unemployment, wrong about people not wanting to work.
Yeah.
Governor Ivey and the people that have worked hard to incentivize businesses have created a strong workforce.
Mm-hmm. And over the last year, I believe it's 53,800 jobs, largest growth rate of 2.6% with gains in education and healthcare service sectors. You know, mm-hmm. so that's a lot of jobs in a year.
Josh, it just keeps going on. I mean, you know, we've had another strong quarter. We mm-hmm. just announced this week. Things are humming along. Yep. I don't know what there is to complain about, except we need higher wages. That's about it, right?
Yeah, and you know, and wages are increasing. You know, wages yep. have not kept up with the greed-forced inflation, the corporate greed-forced inflation that we've seen. But I think we're going to eventually get a handle on that. And people are starting to pay attention more. We just had a oil company report $9.1 billion in profits for a quarter. And so I think people are starting to catch on that the inflation that they're seeing that's hitting them the hardest is not necessarily inflation-based, but it's more about the greed that's coming from a lot of these corporations. And so I think we're going to get that in under control as well. But, yeah, listen, I think a lot of growth over the last couple of years, let's be honest here, okay? There's been a tandem in this state, all right? And I'll give Governor Ivey and some of the policies that have come from the Republicans a nod on some of that. But there have also been a lot of fantastic policies that have and money that have come from the federal government and the Biden administration that have propped up a lot of projects around this state. And that has
no
propped
doubt.
Up a lot of countries around, mm-hmm. a lot of companies in this state as well. And I just think that we all should acknowledge that together, and I think we'd be a lot stronger if we did acknowledge the working relationship that we've had over the course of the last couple of years here and how good it's been for everybody.
It has been. And that gets lost in the political conversations and the political ads and the political hatred. It has been the private, the government, federal and state partnerships that have lifted this economy, that have lifted jobs and have lifted folks like we have not seen in a generation. It is unbelievable. And yet people think that things are terrible. And for some people, they are.
Well, they keep getting told things are terrible, just like Tuberville. Yeah. You know, they just keep hounding and hounding that they're terrible, but they're not.
They never get a chance to believe there's any hope. They just think the next day something worse is going to happen because of leaders like Tuberville.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Well, it's true. This is sort of an interesting thing. Test scores nationwide slipped a lot during the pandemic. But Josh, Alabama's test scores, and I don't want to belittle this, did not slip as much as the national average.
That's a big deal.
I know we can say, well, they didn't have far to slide, right?
Right, yeah. I mean, it's, you know, it's a lot easier to win a race when people are running back towards you. But no, listen, it's... it is good. Listen, I don't want to make light of this, okay? Because it first of all, these are very serious consequences for what took place during the pandemic, okay? And the shutdowns and the virtual schooling that we went through and stuff. You know, people are complaining about it now. There's no way to quantify how many lives that we possibly saved during that period of time. Obviously, children weren't at the greatest risk. But we had the virtual schooling, so they would not put their grandparents and their parents at risk serious disease. And so, you know, I just think that first of all, I think that the test, it's great that we didn't slip as much as a lot of other places. We didn't have as far to slip. But, you know, I think that if we can build on that and go forward, that would be the best thing. And maybe it'll help get some people off the backs of our school teachers who have been overworked and underpaid.
Well, as Tommy Tuberville said in one of his speeches recently, the two things we need are education and hospitalization. I don't know what he meant by that.
Absolutely.
But before we leave, I want to wish a belated happy birthday to Jewel Daffron, a wonderful woman and a loyal viewer.
We love
happy
you.
Happy birthday, Jewel.
We love you.
You've been watching The V, the voice of Alabama politics. You watch us because we watch them.